This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, June 13th. Well, after a fairly quiet week last week, it looks like we're going to have more activity as we work our way through the second half of June. We've got the crop report behind us. We're getting a better look at what the weather forecast is showing for late June and maybe even into early July. And we do see this heat is going to become front and center of the focus of the market now that the crop report numbers are behind us. It's really all about weather as we head into the heart of the growing season for corn and beans. And for wheat, the growing season for spring wheat, of course, and other spring crops, winter wheat harvest is ongoing. We've seen a fair amount of rain delays there. Of course, you finally get rain, but it happens during harvest. The rains aren't really creating too much of a quality issue. It's just more of stop-start on the harvest. It's tough to get some momentum going. But my feeling all along has been that we would see harvest lows come early and targeting mid-June. The wheat market chart formation, just its inability to really regain some upward momentum suggests to me that we're probably going to get one more good push down. We already are into this mid-June time window, and it's, you know, the heat is going to start taking a toll on corn and beans. So it's hard fundamentally to argue that you would see another push down, but we just haven't been able to get the price action moving to the upside. So we'll see where that all shakes out. But I think that for wheat, you know, we're close to finding the low. If we do get that next push down, I don't think it becomes a huge washout unless we see some progress in the war, which is highly unlikely. But other than that, I think the market just, you know, gets a push down, establishes maybe a double bottom at the lows that were put in here a couple weeks ago. It probably will take those out, but I think one more leg down will be about all the wheat market can do to the downside. Long term, still very bullish. I don't see anything developing positively in the war. We're not going to see a trade corridor out of Ukraine, so their exports are going to continue to be very slow, maybe 1.5 million tons a month, which is just paltry. And for Russia, you know, they're looking at a big crop, but they're having difficulty moving the remaining part of old crop. And for new crop, they're probably not going to have an export tax, but it's going to be very difficult for them too to move, not because of trade corridors, but because nobody will deal with them. Insurance companies won't cover their ships, and it's going to be very difficult for them to have some sort of reliable payment system. So for Russia, this is all, I think, it's obviously going to increase their ending stocks, and that's what USDA was showing too. And eventually that's going to come home to roost. Building stocks in Russia and Ukraine, when this war finally ends, you're going to see just a flood of wheat in particular onto the market. But in the meantime, you know, it's not accessible really, or very little of it is. So these are things that we're watching, and I think it continues to be very bullish. So let's just take a look at the numbers from USDA. For domestic numbers here in the United States, all wheat was estimated at 1.737 billion bushels. That was up 8 million from last month's estimate, up 28 over what the trade was looking for, up 91 over last year. Most of that will be coming from spring wheat. In hard red winter wheat at 582 million bushels, that's down 8 from last month. It was 6 less than what the trade was looking for, and it's down 167 million from last year. Soft red winter wheat at 358 million bushels was up 4 from last month, up 1 over the estimate, down 3 from last year. So not a lot of changes in soft red. Hard red, we're seeing a big drop, and of course, much of that is just hot and dry weather throughout much of the growing season. For ending stocks, we've got wheat for old crop unchanged at 655 million bushels. For new crop, they raised it 8 million to 627 million bushels, which is still 28 million less than last year. Corn ending stocks for this current marketing year up 45 million bushels at 1.485 billion, and that That pushed over into next year, up 40 million bushels at 1.4 billion bushels. In soybeans, they took this year's ending stocks down 30 million at 205 million. They took next year's new crop down 30 million at 280 million. So that's still up 75 over last year. For corn ending stocks, we're pretty much equal to where we were last year. In world numbers, they lowered EU production just 0.4. So the trade is already leaning quite more heavily than that for EU wheat production losses. But so far, USDA is just barely ratcheting them lower. So they're sitting at 136.1 million tons. In India, USDA took their production down 2.5 million tons, so they're sitting at 106. And they took exports down 2 million to 6.5 million tons. The trade is well below that. Most of the trade is actually below 100 million bushel production, which effectively shuts off any further exports coming out of India. In Russia, USDA raised their production up 1 million tons to 81, and they took exports up 1 at 40. So, you know, 40 million tons of exports out of Russia assumes almost no restrictions, and that's just not reality at this point. So, you know, that's a very high number coming out of Russia for exports. In Ukraine, they left production unchanged at 21.5 million tons, and they left Ukraine's exports unchanged at 10 million tons. So, you know, not a lot of adjustments being made there that really is kind of the key to this market. You know, weather is becoming a moot point for winter wheat, at least here in the United States. It's still important around the rest of the Northern Hemisphere, but spring wheat is still susceptible to some hot and dry conditions. So far, it's not been the case at all. It's been too much rain really across much of the Northern Plains. And they are expected to get hot here this week. So that could start to take a toll. But at least from a moisture perspective, most of spring wheat country is in pretty decent shape. Now, harvest has begun across some of the Black Sea. We are harvesting in Ukraine. We'll ramp up more as we get closer to July. Most of the harvest in the Northern Hemisphere, other than the United States, happens during July. The question is fuel for Ukraine. They're having trouble sourcing diesel. So that's going to leave those crops vulnerable in the field and probably start to reduce some quality if they can't get it in a timely manner. The other issue, of course, would be where they're going to store it and how are they going to move it. In Russia, it's kind of the same thing. It's not a fuel shortage, but storage capacity, I think, is going to be taken up fairly quickly. Normally, they're pushing a lot of wheat out the export channels right as they're harvesting. I don't see that happening this year. So again, you're going to see a buildup of stocks, at least in Russia, which becomes a very big deal once they're able to move it. And that is a complete unknown. It's not going to be in the near term, and I don't see that happening until Putin is gone. So, you know, from what you're hearing about his health, that might be sooner rather than later, but the bottom line is we just don't know. And they are coming in with a big harvest, not as big as they were bragging about earlier this season, but it's probably still going to be fairly big. They've had some hot and dry conditions that surely took a toll on the wheat crop, but I think the early good start to the crop should still bring in a near record, if not a record crop for them. And again, they're going to have difficulty exporting it. So I think this just underpins the wheat market going forward, especially into the fall, when demand is usually so strong anyway, and you have a lot of pent-up demand that waited for the new crop. If it's not available from the Black Sea in a normal manner, it's just going to put much more pressure on the Europeans, who are experiencing some hot and dry conditions. And here in the United States, where we're also looking at a notable drop in hardwood winter wheat production. So that's kind of, you know, the snapshot of where we are, at least from, you know, the statistics point of view. Cash markets worldwide last week, we saw the U.S. soft red winter wheat out of the Gulf at $415 a ton FOB. That was up 10 over the previous week. Hard red winter wheat at 470 was up 14. no offers out of Ukraine, which has been the case for several weeks, but we also didn't have any offers out of Russia. That's the first time that that has happened. France, sitting at 412, was down 1 on the week. Argentina at 480 was up 10. In corn out of the Gulf at $339 a ton, that was up 14. That off the PNW at 375 was up 20. Argentine offers unchanged at 295. Brazil was up 8 at 323. In soybeans, we were up $10 a ton across the board. U.S. at the Gulf at $680, Argentina at $670, and Brazil at $690. So just touching on weather again, we've got the heat in the south of the United States that's been there for a while. That is expected to shift north and east a bit, so it's going to get into the Midwest. It's going to be very hot and dry for the most part. But it's at this point, the longer range forecasts are suggesting that it's only going to last about a week, then it kind of backs off a little bit, comes back south. The question is, what happens to that high pressure ridge? Is it going to get pushed back into the Midwest into the month of July? That becomes critical. And even into late June would be critical. But for the most part, the Midwest is sitting on very good moisture reserves. And, you know, that'll carry the crop for 2 weeks at least, depending on how hot it is. So if you continue the heat and the dryness into late June, that becomes that's the beginning of a problem. And then if the forecasts say it's going to stick around into early July or even into later July when you're pollinating, then that becomes a huge problem. And so, you know, we're starting out the summer pretty hot, and that's not a good way to start. You know, we're cool and wet across the northern plains, and again, we have a good moisture reserves there too. But the heat, as we all know, can take a toll pretty quickly. So it's all about weather, and it's about what's going on with this intense high-pressure ridge that's been hovering over the south and is going to move up into the Midwest. What's going to happen to that ridge over these next few weeks? And, you know, the market has had a little bit of a push to the upside in corn and beans. Of course, those will be mostly affected. The soybeans rallied up to the trading range highs. I think that it's eventually going to break out because it's like the fifth time we've been up here. Eventually, this market's going to take a run to the upside. And the initial targets will be the width of that trading range is projected right on top of it. So it's a pretty decent move for soybeans and corn. You know, we're already hovering near all-time highs. It's, you know, you'd have to have a pretty big weather scare to really take this another leg higher, but that is in the cards. That's on the table. It's just a matter of what Mother Nature does. So the markets are on high alert. Wheat will follow corn. And even if the heat moves up into the northern plains, spring wheat will kind of take off on its own as well. So we're headed into the gut slot of production season, and we have weather, very threatening weather, on the verge here. So that, you know, the market is, I think, going to hold its gains fairly well until you see some relief in the longer range forecast and you actually see it in the current weather. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.